Five.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Today, an update with the Oregon State University Extension Service and Agent Logan Bennett. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, good afternoon, Kyle. Thanks for having me.
Well, I know that you guys are busy throughout the year. A lot of things going on. We're going to kind of roll through a bunch of different topics today. I guess, first of all, since you deal with different aspects of agriculture, obviously, what are you seeing out there in terms of the wine industry and how things are looking this year, given the weather pattern we've had this year, which is a lot different than last year's?
Yeah, you're definitely right. It is very different than last year's. We had a really, really wet April, one of the highest rainfalls on record for this area, and then it went really dry. So we started out real slow and then basically skyrocketed. So we moved really fast in May and June. We're now through bloom, and with these rains we're having today, it's something we're going to need to watch out for.
And it's interesting to watch, you know, every year is different, and sometimes you get a lot of predictions. Sometimes they're correct, sometimes they're not.
Right. One of my coworkers likes to say, we'll tell you the crop prediction when it's in the bucket. And when it comes to looking at yield, we really got to monitor it over the summer to get an accurate idea of what's going on.
And you can be going along at one trajectory and feel like, okay, we're going along like this and be able to kind of have an idea, but then you get hit with something right at the end prior to harvest that either really messes things up, frankly, or maybe even improves things.
Absolutely. We're always paying attention to the weather cycle, and we do have plans when we're growing crops, but nature has a way of doing things that sometimes we have to adjust to really rapidly.
Now, along with wine, we've got a lot of blueberries around here. Any idea how many acres we've got in blueberries?
Oh, there's a lot of acreage of blueberries. We've got three or four production fields, and then we have a lot of folks growing small acreage, too.
And how are those looking this year?
Really good. I was out at a blueberry field on Thursday, and we're starting to see some of the earlier varieties like Patriot turn blue.
And, of course, it's interesting to have watched that, just like the wine industry here. The blueberries have really grown a number of years ago. Some of them started going even out of the country, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, we have a really good climate in Oregon and in Douglas County to produce blueberries. So, and especially here, we've got some oddball varieties. Like, we've got a couple growers that are growing rabbit eyes called O'Clockany, and we're really well suited for that.
So you wanted to talk about biological control releases in Douglas County, and I've got to tell you, I'm not quite sure what that means.
Yeah, absolutely. So last week, I started a partnership with the Oregon Department of Agriculture, and we are releasing two species of samurai wasps in the county. And what they do is they parasitize brown marmorated stink bug and spotted wing Drosophila, the larvae and eggs, respectively.
And why is that important?
BSMB, brown marmorated stink bug, and SWD, spotted wing Drosophila, are both major pests in Oregon. Spotted wing Drosophila is the cause of many, many sprays on thin-skinned fruit.
And I know this has been an issue for years.
Oh, yeah. Both of the species have been around for a while. Spotted wing's been around for probably close to 13 years. And it's been sort of a dash since they got here to kind of figure out how to manage for them in commercial cropping systems.
Now, what about summer things you have going on in terms of classes, workshops, things like that?
Well, this Friday, we're actually kicking off summer, I suppose, with a olive tour. We're going to be at the River Ranch, the olive production company down there in Glide. We're going to do a tour, talk about olive production in Oregon, and do a tasting.
And olives are growing, too.
Yes, the acreage in olives are growing, for sure.
And literally growing.
That's right.
Yeah, that was a bad pun that I didn't intend to get out there. But what about the climate makes olives a good match here?
So that's actually a good question because it's not a clear answer. Olives don't perform here like they would in California. We can only grow them for oil, and we have to harvest them before they fully ripen.
Now, talk about the Victory Garden you have out by River Forks Park. A lot of work seems to go into that.
Absolutely. So the master gardeners are hard at work over at the Discovery Garden every week on Tuesdays. And this year, starting in July, we want to showcase that. We're going to be doing something called the Summer Pavilion Series. And the plan is to bring folks out on the third Thursday of every month, completely free from 10 to noon, and have instructional workshops.
And what kinds of things do you think you'll cover?
Yeah, so the first one's going to be July 20th, and what we're going to be doing is showing folks our Victory Garden out there, so where we do all of our vegetable production. Last year, that garden produced almost 11,000 pounds of food that we were able to donate to UCAN. And what we want to do is show folks how we're doing that, what successional planting looks like, what growing strategies are we using, and how are we managing the soil out there.
Any idea how long that Victory Garden's been there?
Oh, it's been there quite a while. Recently, I was reading an article about how we got a grant in 1996 to put up the pavilion, so over 20 years.
And sounds like a really good training. I've talked to some of the master gardeners over the years, and just having a place where they can, you know, essentially take the practical knowledge they've been getting through the program and put it to work and see what works best.
Absolutely. And since you brought that up, it's worth mentioning that the Master Gardener Training Program is going to be coming up in September. It'll be the 5th through the 24th, once a week. And if you're interested, reach out.
And what time of day is that held?
So it's on Tuesdays, and it's from 8 to 3 o'clock.
And so obviously a lot of information there. And then as people take that, this is a several-month commitment, right?
Yeah, so the training is from September through October. And then after the training's complete, you have a 60-hour requirement to pay back over the year, so from basically October to October. And then you get certified as a master gardener.
And what's the age range of most people in that program?
So there's a lot of folks that have retired and are interested in gardening, but it's open to everybody. And we encourage anyone who's interested to join.
And that is one of the things with Extension that's been around, you know, for decades.
Yeah. The Master Gardener program itself is probably from the 80s, if I remember correctly. It started out pretty slow with just a couple folks, and now it's a national program, and there's master gardeners in almost every county.
Wow. A big influence, a big impact from Extension. What about, let's talk about other things that are going on. Chicken processing.
Yeah, so August is going to be my animal month. So in the beginning of August, we're going to be doing a chicken processing workshop. We did one last year, and it was pretty successful. So we're going to do it again. And what that is we're teaching folks from a live bird to a packaged product how to wrangle, process, clean, and then legally sell that product.
And how much interest do you get in that?
I get some interest in it. We keep the attendance on that intentionally low. Excuse me. We don't want very many people around when we're working with machines and knives. So we only allow about 10 to 15 students in each of those workshops, and they fill up pretty quick.
And do these tend to be people that are already raising chickens or people that are thinking about it?
It's both. There's ways to optimize processing your birds and to make sure that you're getting the best quality product. So we see folks who are already raising chickens that come to this for that reason, and then also folks who are interested in getting into the meat bird market.
And how does that work in terms of if you've got a couple extra acres, you have some chickens, what are you allowed to do? I mean, obviously, you're not going to be selling to a large store or something. What's the sort of the legalese as to what you can do there?
Right. So if you're operating on a farm and selling chickens that you're processing yourself, there's a couple things that you have to be paying attention to. First, you can't sell more than 1,000 chickens a year off of your farm. It's called the 1,000 bird law exemption. And then when you're operating on your own farm and harvesting and processing your own chickens, you're using an open air facility. And there's laws around what are considered open air facilities. And Extension actually has a few publications on that.
And I would imagine these type of regulations, is this like from kind of a federal framework, or does it vary state by state?
It's both. Some of this is federal law, and then Oregon has its own laws and exemptions. For example, the 1,000 bird laws and Oregon exemption.
All right, more with Logan Bennett when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1. Tomorrow on Inside Douglas County, we're going to talk about the launch of Oregon Voices. A couple of guests from the Ford Family Foundation. You can find out more about that on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. Logan Bennett from the Oregon State University Extension Service talking about things happening this summer and just about extension in general. You've been here just a bit over a year. Now, as you kind of look back, do you feel like you've learned a lot about the area?
Absolutely. Oregon's agriculture is very different county by county, and there was a lot to learn here. It's been really fun so far.
And remind me, were you from out of state, or did you live elsewhere in Oregon?
I was up north in the Marion County area.
But you knew that you wanted to be in this field for a long time.
Yeah. Formerly, I was a crop consultant, and luckily, through the Extension Service, I get to do a lot of what I did before, but now I get to do it as a public service. So it's really been a blessing.
So as a crop consultant, then you were working for a company, or you were working for yourself?
I was working for another company providing technical advice, mostly for commercial farmers.
And it sounds like you like to get out and really see these operations, whatever, you know, whether it's farming or wine or whatever around the Umpqua Valley.
Absolutely. My favorite part of my job is working with farmers.
And we have a lot of farmers that go back generations, but it seems like in recent years we've seen more people in their 20s or early 30s giving it a go.
Absolutely. There's farmers of all kinds. We have a lot of generational knowledge in farming and a lot of generational farms, but as those sort of change hands, we're starting to see new successions of farmers as well.
And what have you seen about, I mean, you've only been here a year, but just sort of the shift in the county over the years, and what have you learned about, you know, there's some crops that used to be grown and for some reason they're not as popular anymore.
Absolutely. Well, this county actually has a really rich history of agriculture. We used to grow prunes, melons, hops, and turkeys here, none of which are really major crops anymore, and that's just shifts in markets and infrastructure. But right now, hazelnuts, wine grapes, blueberries, and diversified veg production are really popular in the county.
Yeah, and hazelnuts are pretty popular in Oregon in general.
Absolutely. We're the largest producer of hazelnuts in the states, Oregon is, and we produce a really great product.
And what's when you get out to help a farmer, do you tend to take a tour of the whole place and kind of learn about what they do that way?
Absolutely. What I'm going to do out there is situational, depending on what the farmer's needs are. But I want to know the entire system, what the soil looks like, what our water is, and then we can address whatever problem you have.
Now, you mentioned some of the events going on. We talked about chickens. What about hogs?
So later in August, the chicken workshop will be in the beginning. And then towards the end of August, what we're going to do is a hog butchering workshop. So we'll take a hog that's already been slaughtered, and then in a custom-exempt facility, we're going to learn how to make the proper cuts from a hung hog all the way to essentially butcher cuts of meat.
And I would have no skill there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there it's just people go to the store and just assume that this just somehow happens.
Yeah.
And there's obviously a real science to it. And the work they do, though it's not something I would ever want to pursue, I think it is kind of fascinating on a certain level about how do you determine which part of the animal is what.
Absolutely. And that's why we're partnered with the Meatworks up in Drain. It's a really well-known butcher shop, and we're going to have a professional there working through each cut with us. And the idea here is if you're growing your own hogs and you're butchering them for your own personal use, we're going to teach you how to do that in a way that you maximize what you've grown, and so you get the most meat out of it.
And even in the butchering process itself, I understand just how do you approach it, direction, technique, what a tool you use. You could either do it well or not.
Absolutely. An animal has a lot of different cuts of meat, and there's a specific way to go about it and make sure that you're maximizing things. Especially with in our culture in the United States, we're used to certain cuts, and if you're butchering it in a different way, you may end up with more muscle than you intended on a certain cut, or you cut a steak wrong, that kind of thing. It can be completely different.
Interesting. Again, I have no skill there, and you'll probably not see me ever trying to learn to do that, but it's fascinating how it's done. Later in the fall, what do you have coming up?
So one thing we're considering, there used to be a grapes tour, a wine grape tour in Douglas County, mainly for grape producers to go check out other farms and see kind of what's going on a little bit before harvest. And that's something we're considering bringing back if there's interest in it.
And the timing on that is tricky because with all the different varietals, you know, harvest doesn't start on the third Thursday. I mean, people may harvest one varietal and have others weeks later. So I'm sure you got a lot of logistics to consider in doing this.
That's absolutely right. And it's right before harvest. With wine grapes, what we're doing is measuring Brix, so the sugar content of the grapes, and that determines when harvest is going to be. And it's really widely affected by how much sunlight we got, how much rain we have, what the ambient temperature's been over the summer. So it's sort of a figure it out close to, and then try to coordinate that to happen.
And with the microclimates, that really adds to the intrigue as well.
Absolutely. There's a few vineyards around here that are on really unique land formations and terraces. And so that helps, obviously, with the terroir, the overall ambiance and taste of the wine. But it does contribute to different ripening times as well.
So do you like the diversity of what you do in terms of you might be working with wine grape folks one day, blueberries the next, and then talking about hogs the day after?
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. This is just a wonderful place to be.
Now, is there any kind of rhyme or reason to a particular average day for you?
It's all based on my stakeholders' needs. So what the growers need from me is what I'm doing. So in one day I might be all day looking at wine grapes and trying to figure out powdery mildew issues, and the next day I might be working on a hog farm.
How many staff does the Extension Service have locally?
So here in our office, we have 13 folks that are always in the office, and then we have a few folks that are statewide specialists that come through.
Now, for some of these classes, and maybe Master Gardeners is a good example, because a lot of this is tied to one part or another of agriculture, but do you pull in people who really are not in the agricultural arena outside of that for some of these things like Master Gardeners?
Absolutely. A lot of folks take interest in what we're doing in Extension. And while I'm in agriculture and a couple of my coworkers are too, for example, Shelby Philly is the livestock specialist, we have programs outside of agriculture as well. Alicia Christensen is the forestry specialist for the county. And then we also have Mandy Hatfield, who works in health education and community wellness.
What are some of the things you're thinking about doing down the road?
It's a great question. I think I want to involve more of our large commercial crops in some more classes, maybe a blueberry pruning class or disease management on wine grapes, hazelnuts, that kind of thing. We're also planning on doing more of the summer pavilion series and maybe even branching it out to a all-year program, focusing on horticultural topics for the home gardener. And, of course, we'll keep doing these small farms programs, look at veg production, soil health, things like that.
And I know that during the pandemic, a lot of people got interested in gardening simply because they were at home all the time. Are you still seeing that interest ramping up, or is it kind of leveled off?
There's always a little bit of interest in home gardening, and I encourage and foster that completely. If you can grow your own food, you're going to be a happier person.
If you try and fail, then you're not real happy.
Well, that's all part of the learning process, and it's always potential compost.
Well, that is true. I have failed at pretty much any planting. I think one year Mike Winter set me up with the ideal spot in my yard to grow tomatoes, and I couldn't do one correctly, even though I've got an irrigation system and all that. So,
well, the Master Gardener program is available September 5th.
Yeah, I think I've pretty much, you know, given up on that skill set. I think I just purchased them from the various folks selling them. Well, it sounds like you really have got yourself in a pretty ideal situation here.
Yeah, we have a wonderful community of farmers and ranchers here. They're just a joy to work with, and we're having a good time down at the Extension office. The Master Gardeners are always fantastic, and it's a really good place to be.
All right, Logan Bennett from the Oregon State University Extension Service. If people want to find out about any of these programs, what's the best phone number to call?
Yeah, you can go ahead and reach out to me at 541-236-3015.
All right, Logan, thanks for coming in.
Absolutely, thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.